Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the September 16 edition of Commodity Week.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The United States Department of Agriculture has released its latest crop production and WASDE reports, and harvest has begun across the Midwest. Are the harvest highs in already? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Ray Jenkins of Cargill's Eddyville, Iowa corn milling plant. In studio with us today, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor LLC. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. Greg Johnson from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Well, let's start our discussion with this question. Dale, can you tell us what you thought on the numbers, Mr. Durkles, when they came out from USDA earlier in the week?
You know, I think the production estimates that the USDA put out are pretty fair. And my general attitude is that the corn yield number they're using right now is probably a pretty good depiction of the crop we may end up with. The bigger issue I think is important here. I think we've transitioned from worrying so much about supply to starting to worry more about demand for grains.
Greg Johnson?
I would agree. The trade was thinking that the USDA wouldn't lower it as much as they did until they actually got the ear weights in the October report. So I think the expectation was to take it down to a couple of bushels this time and a couple of bushels more the next month. USDA took it down five bushels basically this month. And as Dale said, now I think they've got it right where all the private guys are thinking the crop really is.
And Wayne Nelson.
Well, I'd have to agree with Greg. What really surprised me more than anything is when they did take it down that far, how the trade reacted. And it was very disappointing.
And corn production for now, the 2011-12 crop is now forecast at 417 million bushels lower, with expected yields down from last month across most of the Corn Belt. The national average corn yield forecast at 148.1 bushels to the acre, down 4.9 bushels from August and 16.6 bushels below the 29-10 record. As forecast, this year's yield would be the lowest since 2005-06. Despite the lower yield, production forecast to be the third highest ever, with the second highest planted area since 1944. It's a big planted area.
It is a big planted area, you know, and as much as at the end of the week there was a lot of discussion about the FSA numbers. And the one thing with the FSA numbers that I think everybody needs to understand, because we've never seen these before, we have no historical benchmark with to work from on these early preliminary data sets that we're getting. But having said that, if you just look at the acreage that's already been input for the nine major crops, and you look at compare that to the planting numbers from the USDA, it says we've got about 4% more to go, and that says the USDA corn planting numbers probably pretty well on the mark. The surprise in that, the bean number may actually acreage go up. How much, who knows? There's a lot of assumptions we're making with these, which I think is real dangerous at this juncture.
And the other interesting part about those figures were they were unlike the NAS figures for all 50 states when you look at them, though that doesn't make a lot of difference. I think the corn number was at 88 million acres or just about that, something along those lines.
It's forever state that we have in here, you know, as far as stuff being input. But we just don't know where we're at in percentage of crops they've got input at this point. And that makes using these numbers really a dangerous assessment at best right now. And that's why I think the trade's kind of ignoring them at this point.
In Chicago this week, corn futures, December contract, a high of $7.49 1/4, a low at $6.91 3/4. Remember, those are the overnight open outcry and electronic for the whole week. The change from week to week, Friday to Friday, December corn down 44.5 cents at $6.92. Next year's December, or the 12 contract, at $6.26, down 30.5 cents. Greg Johnson, did we see a lot of pressure in the basis this week?
Not really. We saw basis in the bean market. The Gulf market is just non-existent with very little demand. We were looking for some Chinese demand, didn't get it. So bean basis is down. But as far as corn is concerned, we've seen some of the quick shipment premiums come out of the market. But as far as the gut slot, all fall October basis levels, no, we're not seeing much weakness there. Farmers, I think, want to get into the field and see what they've got before they sell much more. So we really didn't see much farmer selling this week.
So the basis, in your opinion, despite this 44-cent drop in Chicago, basis staying strong with it on the way down, is simply a result that farmers are not moving grain?
Exactly. They sold half a crop ahead, and until they get into the fields and see what the yields actually are, I don't think they want to get too caught up in getting too much more sold. And now that we've had this 40-cent sell-off, I think the sales are going to be even more hard to come by.
So does that mean basis will remain strong, you think, through a good portion of the harvest season? I know that's a lot of conjecture to come up with.
If the yields continue to lag behind as much as we've seen in some of the early corn, the basis levels will hang in there for now, Todd, because as we get down the road a little bit, we're already seeing elevators that will discount drying schedules to try to get cash corn moving. And we're also saying that if this crop is smaller towards the end of the harvest or halfway through, they're going to realize they aren't sitting full and the elevators will pull the basis in to get a little more coverage.
Let me bring wheat into the marketplace very quickly. December contract is 735, high, a low at 686. Settlement price at 688 1/4, down 41.5. July at 754 3/4, down 34 3/4. I want, of course, relate it back to the corn market. There appears to be a lot of wheat in the marketplace on the global scene, and that has been, some say, holding down the corn market.
It is huge. It is key. I mean, you know, we are awash of wheat out in the world, and actually when you look at some of the better producing countries, it does look like we're also seeing the supply or the percentage of feed wheat a little bit higher than what it normally might be, and that's really presenting a lot of competition for corn. We just took a look at some numbers after a rumor earlier in the week that South Korea and Japan were both looking to the Black Sea to try to source some corn out of the Ukraine. And we basically looked at a Ukrainian FOB price on corn. It was $7.49. That compared to a FOB price out of the Gulf at a little over $7.90 a bushel. And milling quality wheat out of the Black Sea was even under their corn price, and feed quality wheat was lower yet. And that is the huge issue. It's not wheat here in the U.S. that's the drag on the corn market. It's wheat in the world and the impact that's going to have on exports.
You know, but why? Because the export market is making up less and less of usage on the WASDE numbers.
But still, when you look at classic commodity pricing theory, so to speak, prices are set by demand at the margin, and demand at the margin at this point continues to be the export market. The ethanol market at this particular juncture has become something akin or something similar to the livestock feed. It's there. It's consistent. It goes up a little bit, down a little bit, doesn't change a whole lot. But your export market is your market that's there or not there, and so it really has a big impact on your overall price structure of any grain, really.
Wayne and Greg, in your areas, when producers have opened up the fields, have they found more corn than they expected at this point?
I think here in central Illinois, the April planted corn is a pleasant surprise. But we have to remember that 10% of the corn was planted in April in our area, so we haven't got into the May planted corn. We've done some drying specials to try to encourage some of the corn, but even that corn is still in the upper 20s, lower 30s. So until we get into that, get some whole fields harvested, you know, we won't know whether that corn is disappointing, average, or above expectations. But there's no doubt the early April corn is good, 170, 180.
Well, we haven't seen much corn being harvested. We've done more beans in our area. The beans have been a pleasant surprise. We've heard anywhere from 40 to 65 on the beans, and a lot of the beans have been done in the last few days have been more in the 60 bushel range. The corn, I did talk to one of our customers today, and he was very pleasantly surprised about the 175, 180 on some of his corn, but that's one of the top farmers in the area with some of the top ground.
Now, would both of you agree that wheat is holding this marketplace down?
Yes.
Greg?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, so given that, and I know producers are fearful that they've sold more up front than they really wanted to, but then we also have the competing side which says, well, the market has broken, I'm going to wait it out, and I'm going to close the bin door. The question is that the right thing to do at this point?
The right thing to do, Todd, is right here, I think that Greg said the whole answer. Guys don't know what they have to sell, and until they actually get a little farther in, they're scared to sell a lot more. Because we've talked to one large farmer this morning, farms 5,000 acres of corn, and he's got 1,000 acres of corn that the seed corn guy walked the field with him and says 80 bushel. How do you sell or what do you figure on that? So, he's sold a lot higher percentage of that farm than what he thought he had, and he's going to wait and see what he has before he sells anymore.
There's no doubt that technically the market looks very poor, and if you're a technician, you would probably continue to sell into this. But I'm just reminded that the cotton market technically broke four or five times. The people said it was all over, and every time we rallied back to new highs. So I'm not willing to say that this market is over. Anytime corn gets below $7, there's always a good chance that China could come in and buy corn. The price over in China is $10 a bushel. So if they waive their VAT tax, corn from the U.S. will work into there. So we don't want to just completely forget about China. So below $7, I think I'm a holder of corn. If we get back up into that $7.50 range, that's a good price to sell corn at.
I would tend to agree with what both of them said. The production issue is a big issue in producer's mind and how much he's already got on the books, and that's readily understandable. I stepped back from the fray, and I looked at a thing earlier in this summer looking at corn and wheat and saw a lot of similarities to 1983 and to 1984 looking at corn-wheat relationships, and there are some reason to consider that particular area from an economic standpoint too. And I think this year we're going to morph into a classic short crop, long tail scenario where your highs really come early in the marketing season and probably or at least good chance we've already seen them. But that doesn't mean we won't have opportunities yet. In the very short term, we are getting a little oversold. So I think we're due to see some kind of a reverse in direction and a pop and a rally. 750, I think, may be a stretch on D's corn, but I think 7.25 is a doable number at this juncture. And I think the biggest thing is I think producers have time. And, if the market doesn't give them this opportunity to do things here at late harvest, early post-harvest, be patient. We'll get another opportunity somewhere after first of the year. May not be new highs, but certainly a better price level than what we'll see here over the next couple of months if we do go lower.
USDA is now projecting the soybean crop at 3.085 billion bushels. It didn't do a whole lot with the WASDE numbers or the supply and demand estimates as they finished up for this last set of numbers in Chicago. Futures finished the November contract with a high of $4.32 and a quarter. A low of $13.50, November beans at $13.55 and a half, or down 71 and a quarter, and November of 12 at $13.42, we're down 57 and a half cents. It was not all that long ago where we thought, well, $14 is behind us. And now apparently it is for the moment.
It's behind us, Todd. It's one of those numbers we wish we had, and I think farmers will sell the next time they see it, if we get to see it. But, the up in the production numbers by the USDA give a feeling of assurance along with the poor sales, export sales, and the poor crush margin.
Yeah, the Chinese, for whatever reason, bought U.S. beans during the South American harvest in the spring, and now they're buying South American beans during the U.S. harvest. And without that Chinese demand, we might have a little bit more, half bushel less or half bushel more than what we think we have. But without demand, it really doesn't matter, and the funds have bailed out as a result.
The one thing I think a lot of people out there fail to appreciate is basically just the price structure we're at. We're at $13, $14 beans. A year ago, when appetite was ravenous. 2 years ago when appetite was ravenous, we were at $9, $10. That has a huge impact. You could say the same thing about corn, too. So, you know, when you get at these high price levels, the buyers out there tend to be a little bit more picky, look around for alternatives, go, well, I'll buy short-term needs. And so your demand does look soft until you get back to a level they think, hey, this is a good bargain. I'm going to reach out and get a little more aggressive again.
Greg mentioned China. There was some earlier week news about the hog market, or pork in particular, and the price of pork in China, which had been increasing and leading their inflationary scale up, although it doesn't make up that much of the marketplace. How much of a problem is that for the soybean market, do you think?
It is an issue, I think, that says, you know, demand long haul is going to be there. It's just a matter of what price are they going to get comfortable and come back in and get more aggressive
again. Of course, bean meal and corn would be primary inputs for the feedstuff for hogs. In just a couple of minutes, we'll return when we'll talk with Ray Jenkins of Cargill's Eddyville plant, its corn processing plant there in Iowa. You're listening to Commodity Week. You can hear us online if you'd like at willag.org or on our brand new mobile website at m.willag.org. One other note, if you listen to us on AM 580, we'll probably disappear for a couple of weeks as we power down to, well, fix the guy wires on our towers.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather cycled back to a brief taste of summer early this week, but it was followed by much colder air, which brought Illinois a sample of mid-October weather. Temperatures this week were averaging near normal through Wednesday, but the cold air changed that as temperatures on Thursday dropped to near 40 in the morning, with mid to upper 30s in northwestern Illinois, and then only reached into the low and mid-60s during the afternoon. Normal highs this time in September are in the low 70s north, the mid-70s central, and around 80 south. The cold front came through without much rain, but an upper-level disturbance riding over the cool air on Wednesday brought rain to almost the entire state. Rainfall amounted to only a few hundredths in northern Illinois, but about a third to a half inch fell in central Illinois, and almost 2 inches fell in southwestern Illinois. The weather will be more seasonable next week, with high temperatures back into the 70s for the most part. There will be a chance of rain Sunday into Monday, and then again about Wednesday. The second half of the week is a bit of a question mark, as the forecast models are trying to develop a cutoff low over Missouri and Kansas. That would result in a stagnant pattern here, with perhaps a chance of showers each day. However, at this point, it's not clear how this will play out late next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the September 16th edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can find us online at willag.org or m.willag.org on your smartphone. On the phone line with us today, Ragged Jenkins. He's at the Cargill Corn Milling Plant in Eddyville, Iowa. Mr. Jenkins, thank you so much for joining us again. We do appreciate that.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you again.
Have producers in your area been hauling corn in?
Hauling corn and harvesting. One of the big surprises here in the last 30 days is how much old crop corn movement there's been. Our spot activity the last 3 weeks has been the busiest of the entire calendar year by a factor of 4 to 5 times per day.
And what impact did that have on you?
Well, not knowing how the supply of corn was going to work, we were fairly aggressive in covering our first half September, first 20-day time period with old crop supply. So the combination of spots and some early harvest activity is keeping us on the full side as we head into the last 10-15 days of the month here.
And in fact, on Friday afternoon, the 16th, you shut down early?
Yes, we normally would have gone longer than 4 o'clock, but we were getting full of corn, and we were needing to manage some of our wet corn inventory as well.
Ray, on a broader issue and taking into account what you've heard in some of your early harvest stuff, what's your sense of the corn yield we're going to see out of Iowa, because the USDA went down to 161 on Monday in their state yield? That compares to 157 last year. Is that a doable number?
Yes, I do. We're picking up a fair amount of southeast, east central harvest reports, and now up into central Iowa. The market, folks out here were blindsided, especially in the southern half of the state last year, by how small the crop was when we got into it. And as we had this heat spell this summer, expectations were pretty low. And although we're not talking, you know, general 200 bushel corn averages, we're coming in 10 to 15 bushel an acre better than some of our earlier yield checks and what people expected.
Hey, Ray, you're in an area southeast of Des Moines where they had flooding early in the spring and then hot weather throughout the summer. Is there any reports, or have you picked up anything with either diplodia or aflatoxin?
We've probably taken in 500,000 new crop corn in the last 4 or 5 days, and we've only had one sample of aflatoxin. They are seeing a little bit more over in far western Iowa, but primarily in an area that suffered a late season hail and windstorm in the third week of August over there. Corn quality seems to be very good. We think as this crop matures, we're going to be looking at average test weight between 57 and 58 pounds.
Well, you said that the yield was about 10 bushel better than what they were expecting, but how's that compared to last year?
Well, in our particular area, it exceeds last year. For instance, the county just north of us, which traditionally would have 165, 175 bushel average, only yielded 111 bushels in 2010. Southern, southeastern Iowa had a disastrous crop last year. So we kind of fall into the it's all relative category, because significantly better than last year, but not on a par with the best years we've had.
The head of Cargill has been more open than in past years about Cargill and its ability to feed animals, and suggested that these were awfully tight times for especially its poultry industry. Is there anything within the grain handling side that they've wanted or directed you folks to do?
No, other than I think the head of our particular business unit took me aside in May and said something like, we don't have to own a lot of corn, but we do have to have corn in September. So
your plant out there in Eddyville, is that purely a food-grade processing, or are you doing any ethanol there?
We're doing a small amount of ethanol. About 12% of our corn supply goes for ethanol, but we're operating in the context of a wet milling process, so it's one big black hole. Doesn't know whether it's going for citric acid, high fructose corn syrup, or ethanol. So yes, we're operating at a food grade.
From that perspective, where you're at in the industry, and at least have some tie into the ethanol side, what's your sense of what the profitability in the ethanol plants are right now?
Well, they're modestly profitable, but not on the same venue level as where we were in 2010 at this time. My sense of where corn price needs to be is that it has to be at a level that's what I call persistently painful to many of the end users, that keeps them searching for alternatives so that we can survive for the next 12 months here and have a reasonable amount of corn left on September 1 of 2012.
Weather conditions have generally been more favorable in Iowa and northern Illinois than they have here in central Illinois. Have your farmers been more aggressive sellers, would you say, over the last 3 to 6 months, or have they been cautious as well?
I would certainly put them in the cautious category, especially here in the southeastern quarter of the state, where three of the last 4 years have had major weather problems, and farmers found themselves heavily marketed in a couple of those years. So they've been a little slow to put a book on, but now as people were starting to nose into those fields, you know, some people that didn't have big ideas are finding that they probably need to be looking at selling a little more corn here, especially in the where they can get $7 and higher cash bids out in the spring and summer months.
Do you feel the corn market is topped for the year?
I think we got a real challenge getting to new highs. I guess I really wasn't surprised that we sold off to the $7 mark, but we didn't catch. Now we're looking at some of these multi-day averages down here in the 680, 685 level. The group that could come in here and change this are a variety of what I call end-use types. So for us, they would be people that are buying dextrose made from cornstarch or some product where they need to price corn futures on a calendar year basis. A lot of those people have massive amounts of coverage to put on because they've been operating very hand-to-mouth, and at some point they're going to come in and start buying more of this coverage.
Do you have an idea when that pop might come?
We had one that stepped in yesterday, but he didn't do anything to help the market.
Hey, turn your attention to the beans in the area. I know you don't you're not taking them into the corn milling plant there, but what are you hearing about potential yields, and do you have any movement yet in the field for soybean?
Very early, we've got a small group of farmers just on the east side of Des Moines that plant some late group one, early group two beans, and they've started to harvest this week. I don't have any yield reports. The feature on the bean crop this year that we're hearing from seed companies, that out here at least, this is one of the most disease-free soybean crops we've seen in many years. And I think that has to bode well, at least for the possibility of reasonable yields.
I have a follow-up question, this one on corn. Your Iowa State folks, the entomologists there, have identified resistant western corn rootworm in the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing from producers? And I don't think you will be where you are, but I might be surprised that they think they might have that changed western rootworm in their area?
No, it's been pretty quiet in our conversations with people as far as that particular area, but it's obviously going to bear watching here in future years.
You know, you go back to the beans here a minute, and again, we know it's out of your realm for the most part, but what kind of sense do you get as far as when bean harvest will start out in your area? Is it a couple of weeks away yet before we really see producers start to shift gears and go from corn to beans? Where are we at on that timetable?
We're kind of thinking that the September 25 through October 5 time period with the cooperative weather is going to see about 75 to 80% of the beans harvested.
Ray, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ray Jenkins is with Cargill out of Eddyville, Iowa. Just a short time for a final word from our panelist in studio, Dale Durkles.
We get a bounce, get a rebound. I think people ought to take a look at pricing some 2012 corn and beans.
Greg Johnson.
Corn stays below $7. Keep your powder dry, but as we get in that 7.25, 7.5 range, be ready to make some sales.
And Wayne Nelson.
Be careful out on the combines. Be safe.
Thank you so much to our panelists in studio. That wraps up this 16th of September edition of Commodity Week. You do be safe. I'm Todd Gleason.